more of CJAD's Halter Overnight on Montreal's news talk leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this topic board aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailor man, skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour, a 3-hour tour. The weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the middle would be lost. The middle would be lost. The ship set round on the shore of this uncharted desert isle, with Gilligan, the skipper too. A millionaire and his wife, a moody star, the professor and Mary Ann, here on Gilligan's Isle. So this is the tale of our...
And hopefully the phone lines will be working right now, because we have on the line Don Wells, better known as Mary Ann, here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. Are you there, Don?
I think we're a little safer with a bamboo and a cord. I don't know.
I was wondering, maybe we should have gotten the professor to see if we can work on things here.
Just call somebody. Hello.
Thanks for joining us on the program. How are you?
Just terrific. And you?
Fine. It's a pleasure to have you on the program and chat with you this evening. I know a couple of weeks ago, almost a month ago now, you had Surviving Gilligan's Island on CBS, the CBS
yes.
Movie of the Week. It did very well in the ratings, didn't it?
Yes, we did. It's the highest rated movie CBS has had in 2 years. And I think the only other show that ever beat The Practice was Titanic. So we're very proud. I'm very proud.
And the thing, and you know, two shows dealing with boats beat The Practice. Go figure. The thing I find very interesting about it is it was a unique way of doing basically a look back at a favorite television show, because you updated everybody, you also dramatized. It was sort of like a cross between a movie of the week and an A&E's biography.
Yeah, it was. I wanted the audience to come away with kind of the feeling that you had when you watched the show. I didn't want it to be one of those sensational, let's try to find the negative about everything. And the questions that, you know, fans have asked for years and years and years, I tried to put it all together and answer some of the things that people want to know. And it was fun casting the other characters. I thought that was kind of fun. And I thought the writer did a beautiful job of kind of recreating those Gilligan scenes. I was very proud of it.
I guess one of the questions a lot of people must ask is, when they come in contact with you, is what have you been doing in the last few years?
Mercy. Well, I've been very, very busy. I've been very lucky. This is the first executive producer job that I've done. But actually the month of June when we were filming this, I did executive produce this and was on camera with this, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Did a movie with Jeff Daniels called Super Suckers that he wrote for me. And did the play Always Tactic Line all in the month of June last year. So I've been really busy. I'm doing a lot of theater. I'm doing a lot of, I run a film actors boot camp up in the summer, which I'm very proud. I have a ranch up by Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And in the summer, I do summer sessions of teaching actors the art of acting on camera and the nuts and bolts of the film industry. And it's been my third summer this summer. We have 1 week sessions at a time. And I have 12% of my students have located in L.A., and 100% of them all have agents that are working. So it's something I used to do an awful lot for my college, both my alma maters, and I always, there isn't anything to provide a young actor that transition from amateur to professional in the film industry. You can come into Los Angeles and take classes and voiceovers and blah, 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 blah. But that choice of where to go to start your career or how to make a living doing more than just acting Shakespeare, you can't, you know, maybe Canadians have a more of an opportunity of doing what they love and not necessarily having to do everything in the film industry in order to work. But nowadays, as an actor, it's very tough, you know. And you have to do it all. You could do Shakespeare and regional theater and commercials and voiceovers and et cetera, et cetera. So that's kept me very, very busy. I have a website that Gilligan's wife designed, and we won a wonderful award for it. She's just wonderful. It's dawnwells.com. If you get a chance to look at it, it's just terrific.
Oh, we have a link in from our site right now.
Yeah. I mean, she's done such a great job with it.
We're talking with Don Wells here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. You're talking about the fact that when you start, you have to learn to do everything. Tell us a little bit about Don Wells before Mary Ann.
Well, I wasn't in the business for very long. I was I'm a graduate of Stevens College, which is an all-women's college, and University of Washington in Seattle with a BFA in theater. And I had a choice to make between to go to Los Angeles or New York. At that point, that was the only two places you could earn a living. And I was pre-med before I went into theater, so I gave myself 2 years and said, I'll see if I get a job. And I chose Los Angeles because there was more work for me. Most of everything in New York at that time was musical comedy. I was born and raised in Nevada, fourth generation. My great-great-grandfather drove stagecoach during the Gold Rush, so I'm a real Western girl. As a matter of fact, I did a show in your country. I did a show called Dawn Wells Real Adventures with Kathy Ruddick, a fishing show, fly fishing, mm-hmm. all over the world. I worked pretty regularly, never any really small roles, because I think I was really well trained and I was a perfect type. And when Gilligan's came along, I was a replacement, as you know, if you watched the special.
Right.
And I just auditioned and got the role, and boy, that was it. You know, it changes your world.
And we had Bob Denver on this program here on CJD. As a matter of fact, we had an opportunity to work with him because we did, as part of Just for Laughs, a tribute to Sherwood Schwartz. So I had the opportunity.
Oh, great!
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to work with both the gentlemen. That was back in '94. And the thing that's always interesting about talking with Bob is, of course, as you know, he's a well-educated man, a very intelligent man, very articulate man, which of course is a lot different than Gilligan. And so I wanted to ask you the similar question. What misconceptions do people have of you because they think you're just Marianne?
Well, I think I'm closer to Marianne than Bob is to Gilligan.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Gilligan is such a buffoon kind of character. I think people are kind of surprised. And Bob isn't really funny. He doesn't have a great sense of humor, as the professor really does. Bob is more of a comedic actor. I think there's a lot more levels to me than there is to Marianne, but I was raised very similar. I think Marianne is a principled, ethic, hardworking, fair, good friend type young lady, and that's the way I was brought up. I mean, I was raised by a mom. My parents were divorced, but my father had a tremendous influence on my life, and I was expected to do things that were good and get good grades and clean up my room and do things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That good English and good grammar and manners and all of those things, which I think Marianne stands for. I'm more worldly than Marianne. My life is, I've seen more of the world than Marianne has. But I think there's quite a bit of me there.
But I get the feeling that sometimes when people meet you, like for instance, I get the impression that Don Wells is not the kind of person who's allowed to have an argument in public because she represents Marianne.
Oh, no, no. Well, I try not to have an argument.
But you know, you could be in a situation where you're at the grocery store and the person in front of you has 12 items in the 10-item line and you can't say anything because Marianne wouldn't do that.
Oh, I think Marianne might. I think Marianne might say, move on. I mean, I think she's kind of outspoken. I think, you know, I think she's, I wouldn't say a woman's liver, but I don't think she's, I don't think you put one over on her. I don't think Marianne plays games. I think she'd be perfectly honest about being fair and that kind of thing. But I think I'm much more multifaceted. I think that's probably a better word. There's a lot of, on the outside, I seem to be pretty simple. On the inside, I'm pretty complex, I think.
Actually, I want to play a clip from you from when Bob was on the program with us, because we were asking him some questions about being on the show and working with you. And also, somebody was talking about people actually meeting Marianne, and this is the clip he had from when he was on our program.
Don Wells and Russ Johnson, we get together like two or three times a year and we get rescued wherever there's a body of water. And it's really fun because we'll be in an airport, you know, and Don will be standing like 10 feet behind me and some young man in his 20s will come up to me and he'll say, oh, I really love the show and all that. And I say, yeah. And I said, what'd you think of Marianne? He goes, oh, wow, she was really great, you know. I said, would you like to meet her someday? And he goes, oh, boy, oh, let me tell you, that would just been, oh, boy. And I say, there she is. And the guy just turns red. Becomes 9 years old right in front of my eyes, can't talk, feet shuffling.
Well, you know, the three women, I think, who were a big hit with a lot of kids, even though they may have been overshadowed by their more glamorous sidekicks, would have to be Betty from Betty and Veronica,
right?
Betty Rubble,
yep.
And Marianne.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the three.
Over the years, they've had contests wherever I go, and, you know, and they even had national contests to see who was, you know, who the guys like the most, Ginger or Marianne. And Marianne always wins like 75% at least, mm-hmm. percent. Vote for Marianne.
Your thoughts on that? I mean, you must hear all the time.
It's sort of become a thing now. And it's actually more of a thing 10 years after the show went off the air than when we were on the air. I think it is, you mentioned the Betty and Veronica, I think it's sort of the old lifelong dilemma between the girl next door and the sex symbol. And I think nowadays the girl next door is fewer and far between. I mean, there isn't any Marianne on television anymore. We're all pretty sophisticated and pretty worldly. You know, anybody over 12 has sort of had a life now, where Marianne was sort of the last of that era, I think, almost. So I think maybe you're holding her more dear because of it. I don't know.
But I think even when the show was on, people just seemed to gravitate toward Marianne. I'll use a military example. I would think that, you know, Ginger is the kind of person that the guys in the military would love to see on the USO tour and would probably have a pinup on their locker, but Marianne was the girl in their wallet.
I've never heard that before. Well, Marianne's kind of the marrying kind. Or if you're a girl, she'd be your best friend. She would never try to take your boyfriend away or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that Marianne would, I always say she would cook and sew, you know. She would do all those things that good little housewives are supposed to do. And yet she'd probably help you plow and be a lot of fun. I mean, I think Marianne was a symbol of what was good.
Yeah. Another thing that we talked to Bob Denver about is we had something in common, and that is Bob Denver and I are fast talkers. And he said that you're also a fast talker. And here's something he said about that when he was on the show with us 7 years ago.
Extremely fast. Sure would write, you know, 3 pages of dialogue for us, which is supposed to run around 3 minutes. And we do it in 45 seconds, and the script girl would have to go to the phone and say, Sherwood, they did it again. We're 2 minutes short.
Was that a problem you guys had on the show?
Well, no, we once had a director that said Bob and I talked in shorthand. We could get a show done in half the time. That is a problem as an actor. It's a very hard thing to correct.
Mm-hmm.
I enunciate well, so you can hear me, you understand me, but if you try to slow down, a lot of your energy goes. It's a challenge as an actor to slow down and still keep the same energy and actions.
The show you did, Surviving Gilligan's Island, which was on CBS back on October 14th, it was such a labor of love. Clearly it was. It's obvious that you enjoyed your role as Marianne. You enjoy looking back at your role as Marianne. Was there a period of time where you wanted to separate yourself from Marianne?
Not really. I think when you first come off the show, you think, all right, you know, now I'm going to go do something else. I went right back to the stage because I was afraid I'd be playing the Mariannes forever. So I went right back to the theater, in which I was trained, and did, you know, Ibsen and Chekhov and Tennessee Williams in addition to Neil Simon and a lot of things, so I would continue to grow and to stretch. But I think no one understood it would go on this long. I mean, we're the longest-running show in the history of television syndication. We've never been off the air since 1964, and we're in 30 languages still. So who would know that? I mean, who would know that you would pick something that would stick with you forever? I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. You want to say, you know, I can do something else. But I have. Maybe as many millions of people haven't seen it as much as have seen Gilligan's. But my artistic side has been not totally satisfied. I still want to continue doing it. But at least I've been working on something besides just playing that character. And I see no reason to deny it. I'm greeted with love everywhere all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those gambles you take when you do a television series.
One of the things that was brought up in the movie, which Bob Denver did mention on the program, but I want to hear your side of the story, was when you went to, was it Samoa?
Solomon Islands.
Solomon Islands.
Yeah.
Share that story with your...
Well, I'm a real adventurer. I have trick knees. I've got Joe Namath knees, so I'm not very athletic, but I'm outdoors. And I've climbed the hills of Rwanda with the mountain gorillas, and five of my college friends from Stevens, and the president at the time went to the Solomon Islands. We had 5 women and a National Geographic photographer. And we went to islands that women had never been to before. Tourist women had never been to. And we arrived on the island of Sulafu, which is a little island built out on a coral reef. The chief's family had been chief for 19 generations. And as we canoed up, the chief's wife took one look at me and went, oh, I know you. And she'd been on the island of Haniara, which is the capital of the Solomon Islands. A big battle in World War II was fought there. And she'd gone to nursing school in the 70s and had come home and watched TV. And now she was on an island with no running water, no electricity. Now I'm finding in the middle of the Pacific, I know you. So you can't get away from it no matter where you are.
7900991 is the number to call. Star Talk, star 8255, a service of Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJD. We are talking with Dawn Wells, who is best known as Mary Ann from the hit television series Gilligan's Island. You could also check out her website, which is www.dawnwells.com, and learn about all kinds of things, including the Film Actors Boot Camp, which we'll talk about in the next half hour. We'll continue on the other side of the news. This is Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800.
In Montreal, you're with the News Talk leader, CJAD 800.
Hello, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Marie.
We're Peter's nephews.
You're listening to Holder Overnight here on Montreal's News Talk leader, CJAD 800.
It's Peter's job to work in radio so he can earn money.
And it's our job to make sure he spends it on us.
So don't listen to Peter for his sake, listen for ours.
This has been a public service message on behalf of the Meshach and Malik Benevolent Society.
And now, here's Peter Anthony Holder.
Thanks, guys. And we have on the line with us Dawn Wells, better known as Mary Ann from the television series Gilligan's Island. 7900991 is the number to call. Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. If you have any questions for Dawn, let's go to the phones. Bill, hi, you're on CJD.
Hi there, Mary Ann. I'm not going to call you Dawn. I'm going to call you Mary Ann.
That's okay. I'm used to it.
They were trying to describe your character. I would say wholesome because you love fly fishing.
That's it. Are you a fly fisherman?
My dream would be to stand on a desert island with a fly rod and Mary Ann, number
hey.
One.
And
number
I could cook the fish, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. I was born and raised on the Lake St. Louis here in Montreal, and the hometown, actually, of Mark Rennie, who was on CJD. You know, born and raised in the islands, and as kids, we loved going out in the boats, and we had an island called Paradise Island, and it was always a fantasy for us. And,
oh, how neat.
Yeah, coming home from school was a special thing to put the TV on and catch Gilligan's Island. And
did they ever have it in French up there?
Did they ever, in French? Yes,
uh-huh.
They did. I believe they did, yes.
Because I've never seen it in another language. I'd love to. And, you know, I've been in Canada a lot, and I've never had the pleasure of being in Montreal. It's one of my dreams to see your city. It's quite historic.
Well, we're all still waiting.
Exactly.
Okay, well, I'll come on up someday, I hope.
Yeah, I just want to know why the producer didn't have a show to rescue you all.
We tried it three times. We had three specials. We were canceled before. We were picked up for the next season, and the scripts were all purchased. And then we were canceled, so we never had an opportunity of filming the last episode. And 12 years later, we came back and did three specials within about 7 years. Rescue From and Castaway.
We were rescued.
Yeah, we were rescued, but we went back. We got stranded again. I mean, it's one of those exciting plots.
Where do you go fly fishing?
Well, mostly on the West Coast. I've been all over. A lot of northern British Columbia,
right.
All in Idaho and Wyoming. I've been to Iceland and Scotland and Mexico and quite a few places. The show took us quite a few spots.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm awfully glad you called, Bill. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. 7900991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD for the Laurentians, Eastern Townships, Ottawa Hull area, and the border states. Danny, hi, you're on CJD with Dawn Wells.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Dawn.
Hi, Dan.
What I wanted to know, since the series ended, and believe me, I used to live in a little remote place, and we did have Gilligan's Island in French
you
only.
Did? Oh, I wish I had a copy.
Yeah. But, I mean, it still meant the same to us anyways. It was the only TV station we could get up there.
You know? Thing.
And Gilligan's Island was their front and center. But, and like the previous callers said, I know that you like fly fishing. You do a lot of that. And what I wanted to know was, besides, you've done some stage acting since Gilligan's Island. Let's face it. I mean, that was 30-odd years ago.
Sure.
And you've done some stage acting. Can you tell me some of the things, some of the plays that you've been in?
Well, I did Night of the Iguana, Tennessee Williams.
Okay, right.
I did romantic comedy, which is a thriller, I mean a comedy written by Bernard Slade. I did Fatal Attraction, as a matter of fact, a mystery that Bernard Slade wrote at the Center Stage Theater in Toronto.
Right.
I've done Man in the Moon, Marigolds.
Oh.
Desire Under the Elms, just about everything Neil Simon has ever written.
Well, that's
I did
good.
A couple musicals. I did.
That
they're
looks
playing
good on
song.
The resume.
Pardon me?
I said, that looks good on the resume.
Yeah, I did a lot of comedy, and they've done a couple musicals. They're playing our song, and last Christmas I did Nutcrackers, which is a cute musical. I did that in Detroit playing Sister Amnesia. Then I just finished my last play was Always Patsy Cline.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So
oh,
I do a lot. I love it. I love the stage.
My mother is the biggest Patsy Cline fan you've ever met in your life.
Oh, well, it's a wonderful piece. I mean, I didn't play Patsy, of course. The girl playing Patsy is just phenomenal.
And you know what? Just before I leave you, just to say, you haven't changed a bit.
Oh,
I swear to God, you haven't changed a bit.
Well, thank you. Time has been kind.
Okay. I'm going to let you go and let some other people get on the line with you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for the call.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
7900-991 Star Talk, 1-800-491-CJD. Lines free if you want to call in. We're speaking with Don Wells here on CJD. And that last caller did bring up a very good point. You haven't aged a day.
Oh, I have. But you know, it's tough. And I was doing an interview with Joan Rivers not very long ago on the radio, and I said, you know, what's really tough is they always show a picture of you 35 years ago. You know, you come on to do a talk show, and there's a picture of you blowing up. Everybody should have to walk around with a picture of themselves 35 years ago, right next to them. No matter how good you look, you don't look like you did 35 years ago. So there you go.
Well, I'm going to beg to differ because, you know, on your website at www.donwells.com, there is a series of pictures that change on the front page of your website. And and one of them has that cornfield shot.
Oh, yes.
And if you ask me, the more recent ones actually look better than the older one.
Well,
I think.
Nice. God's been good to me. Life has been good to me.
Absolutely.
So far, so good.
7900-991 is the number to call. I wanted to talk a little bit about your Film Actors Boot Camp in a little more detail, because that's something I know you're very, very proud about. What made you start this?
Well, as I said, I don't have kids, you know, and I do a lot of artists in residence in a lot of colleges. I try to go in and give something back, kind of a mentoring thing. I think it's real important. And I found that I was kind of doing it and jumping around, and I thought, wouldn't it be nice if someone could do something like this under one roof? And I find when I'm on a lot of my board meetings, I'm on a couple hospital boards and the board of trustees of my college, et cetera, and we get more accomplished in a retreat atmosphere where there's no distractions. So I had spent a great deal of time up in Driggs, Idaho, which is a little tiny town by Jackson Hole, right over the mountain, with my dad fishing as a kid. That's where I started. And I went back, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago. My father's been gone since the late 60s, so I went back to fish one time and went, wow, now I realize what a wonderful place it was, how quiet and how beautiful. And the thought of my doing this camp had been on my mind for quite a while, and a location was difficult for me to choose. I did not want to put it in L.A. I wanted to give students the opportunity of making a decision where they wanted to go when they wanted to go professional, and I wanted it to be a retreat atmosphere, not worried about feeding your cat and calling your mom and doing your laundry and all that. So I found this wonderful lodge, and it took me about 9 months to get it set up for the camp, to get the studio built and so on. And then I had professionals to come right from Los Angeles, working casting directors and agents and producers and directors that teach. And we don't have any more. I cap it off at 20. I like to keep it at about 16 a week, no more than that, with a faculty of 5. And we do everything on camera. We treat you as if you're on location. We drop you in the middle of a location set and treat you as professional actors, expecting you. That's why we call it a boot camp. It's pretty tough. It's a 60-hour week. We start at 6 in the morning. Kids get college credit for it. I have a really cute story because my very first student, my very first week of my camp, I was recruiting, and I was at Wayne State University in Indiana, and this gentleman was watching I was teaching a class on going professional, and this gentleman was in the audience with a couple of the professors. And he came up to me afterwards, and he said, my name is blah, 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 and I own several TGIF Friday restaurants. And he said, I have one in Vancouver, British Columbia, and I have a bartender that's an actor, and I would really like to send him to your school. So he sent Lori Brunetti to my school, and he was kind of a little Joe Pesci character, great, great little actor. And one of the things we do is find out where you fit. Your niche, your type. If you don't fit something, you're never going to work. It's the same way with you in radio. Anybody can get in and talk about anything, but if you haven't got your own personality going, what makes you different than anybody else? So we talk about that, and Lori was a perfect type. And just 3 weeks ago, I got a letter from him saying he'd just been signed to do a series in Canada. I don't know what it is. I haven't answered him. But he thanked me for 3 years ago. He said, I've just been signed to do a series. So even he is doing well. He's the only Canadian actor we've had. To go back to what I was talking about. So I started with this wonderful piece of property and a wonderful group of faculty. And we've just had some marvelous success stories. I'm very proud of it. And recruiting now for next year. We start, I think, around the 12th of June. I don't have the date in my head right now. And I'm already starting to fill up. There are scholarships available and college credit. And the age range, this is something very interesting. I thought it was all going to be college kids. And they range from 18 to 45. I've had people that want to just make a living in their area. Not necessarily move to Hollywood or New York, just want to learn about doing local radio commercials or voiceovers, or cartoons are more fun, or somebody who wants to make the big move and can't decide what to do, or somebody who's interested in going to Broadway but wants to earn a living rather than bartend, wants to earn a living doing something, so how to do commercials and industrials, etc. So there really isn't, I don't think, anybody doing it all under one roof like this that I know of. When you go to a film school, you really learn how to make a movie.
Right.
You know, all aspects. So this year I'm going to broaden a little bit. I'm going to do a 1 or 2 weeks of kids under 18. There's an awful big market for that, and I'm not pushing it because I think it's a tough road to hoe, but parents are interested and their kids are very talented, and we save them a lot of time and a lot of money, where not to get your picture taken, what not to do, how to find the right agent, blah, blah, blah. The business end of it, too, you know, is just as important. Getting the job is more important than doing it. We assume you're a trained actor, but getting your first job and then sustaining a career is not easy.
Absolutely. We're talking here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800, with Don Wells, whom everybody knows as Mary Ann. 7900991 is the number, star talk, 1-800-491-CJD. We have less than 15 minutes to go with Don here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800.
Now more of CJAD's Halder Overnight on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak with Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, a free call on Bell Mobility, and 800-491-CJAD.
And we're talking with Don Wells from Gilligan's Islands here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800, 7900-0991, the number, less than 10 minutes ago, or 12 minutes ago, with Don. Tell me, Don, do you have a favorite episode?
Of Gilligan, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I think as actors, we like to do the guest, dream sequences. I think my favorite episode to do, I think the title of it was the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde one, but I got to do an Eliza Doolittle character playing the Cockney accent, and that was fun. I think one of the best written, I thought, was the Hamlet. The takeoff on Hamlet, I thought, was clever. And, there was one episode I thought was kind of cool when Roy Calhoun was our guest, and he was the hunter that had hunted every animal in the world.
Oh, yes.
And he wanted to try to hunt a human, and Gilligan was the target. I thought that was kind of funny. Kind of an interesting plot, actually.
Was there ever a time when you looked at a script and you went, I'm not sure about this?
Most of them. Most of them say, well, somebody's surfing on and surfing off and doesn't know where they were. Of course, but that was the fantasy. You know, if you bought somebody surfing on and surfing off, you bought the show. I would love for you to see if you could get a viewer or somebody to find if they have a tape of it in French, because I have never seen it in another language. And if it wasn't, somebody might have a tape. I would just give anything for that. Well, not anything, but you know what I mean.
Okay. Well, people can get in contact with me, and if they have one, I'll make sure it gets to you.
Yeah, I would love that so much.
Absolutely. The one thing that is often talked about, and I don't want to dwell on it, but there was always this controversy about, you know, the whole Tina Louise issue. You had the movie on the air back in October, and I know she was interviewed about not seeing the script. Now that the show has aired, and as you said in several interviews I saw with you leading up to that particular show, it was done rather tastefully, and it was not a tell-all, dish-all-the-dirt type of television show. Have you had a chance to talk with Tina since?
No, I have not talked with her, and I will say that I think we treated her very fairly.
Yeah.
I know I heard her interview on E! About ETA Entertainment, I think it was, Entertainment Tonight, I think, about, you know, that she wasn't consulted and it was going to be, she thought it was going to be a bunch of falsehoods, and everything in the special is documented with interviews that she has given and stories that she has told, and et cetera, et cetera. There wasn't anything that we made up. I think I think that is pretty self-explanatory when you see that your agent was telling her that it was something else, that she could be disillusioned or disappointed when she started the show if she'd been told it was something else. And if it's something that you're not happy that you've done, when the whole next 30 years that's what people talk to you about, has got to be difficult. But I did hear a Howard Stern interview the day after the show aired, and Howard liked the show very much, and got into the Tina bashing quotes, and called Tina on the phone, and he would say, is it true? Did you tell Dawn to take her bangs away? And she either said, I don't remember, or it was so long ago. She was not upset with the portrayal by that interview at all, and I think she probably was defensive before our interview, before she saw the show, because there's been so much played on that by so much of the press. You know, they try to find a negative and then they blow it up. One of those behind the scenes stuff had Bob and Tina back and forth with film clips as if they were in fighting mode all the time, and that's not true at all. I never saw her throw a tantrum and storm off the set and things like that. If she was unhappy with things, I'm sure she shared it quietly with the producer. She did not, and we didn't portray her that way. So I haven't seen Tina since, but I certainly hope I wouldn't have done anything to hurt her feelings or would be disrespectful.
One of the things that the telefilm also showed, which is a side of Bob Denver that I don't think a lot of people are aware of, he was a lead actor in this television show, yet he was a very giving actor.
Oh, very much. Very much. The whole cast was, which is very interesting, because so was Jim Backus. A lot of comedians are very selfish. Bob is a very giving person. He was a very difficult role to cast in the show. John Weldon did a wonderful job because there's a sweetness to Bob. There's a real side of him that's a very gentle quality and very quite shy. And because he's funny and kind of a buffoon, you don't really see that. As you mentioned earlier, and how bright he is, which you don't really see that either. But Bob is very, very caring and wonderful to work with.
The show was so popular for the 3 years it was on, and I'm just wondering if a show like that were capable of succeeding today, if you were a cast on a television show today that had that kind of popularity, could you have kept your privacy the way you seem to have kept your privacy at the time the show was on?
No, but you see, it was very different then, you know. I mean, reruns weren't in existence. Now you have an audience, you have an opportunity of seeing us in 3 or 4 channels forever. We were a hit show, no question, and we got a tremendous amount of fan mail. But there wasn't the exposure that there is now. Posters weren't doing, there was no Ginger Marianne poster. Imagine what those would have sold. You know, when you stop and look at the merchandising and everything that's been done. So I think the world has opened up so much more.
Because I look again at the telefilm you had. There was the scene there where you actually find out that that Bob Denver and his wife are no longer together.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, gosh, if something like that had happened today, let's take one of the biggest shows right now, Friends. I mean, you can't, you know, if any one of those actors in that show broke up with one of their spouses, it would be everywhere.
Yeah,
just
sure.
Everywhere.
Sure. I mean, they didn't have tabloids.
Yeah.
They had movie magazines. Movie Time and movie magazines, they would do layouts of people, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, very different.
One of the other things I know you've done is you had a cookbook, Marianne's Gilligan's Island Cookbook.
Yeah, it's on the web. We're down to a limited edition now. We had 3 printings of it. But I'm a great cook. I brag about that because my mother has just turned 90, and she's a phenomenal cook. She's very frail and can't see. She has macular degeneration, and she still, as a matter of fact, we're doing a homemade spaghetti sauce tomorrow with the pot roast and everything. She's a fabulous cook. Both my grandmothers were great cooks. So my cookbook really had recipes from my family. Silly little titles from the show, but the food in it, 80% of it is my home cooking for my family. So I'm very, very proud of that.
And you were even, I noticed you were cooking in the movie, too.
Coconut cream pies.
Coconut cream pies.
Yeah, I told you Marianne was a good girl. Cooks and clean.
Did you have opportunities? I know that Bob had a couple of series that he did after the show went off the air.
No, I have not. Well, I did a pilot for Fan Drescher about 5 years ago, which did not sell. But no, I have not done. I haven't done a series since.
Would you still like to do another?
Yeah, I'd love to, and I'd love to do something like The Practice or something. I'd love to do a Law and Order. I'd love to do a drama. comedy, of course, is my first. But I'm enjoying the producing end of it. I'm not going to talk about it. I don't want to jinx it. But I've got a couple projects in the work, which is kind of exciting for me to make that step. I've produced some theater, but I've never done anything in film. I have no desire to direct film at all.
Mm-hmm.
I do in theater, but I just have no desire to make that leap. But producing is fun. I got my hand in everything.
Ryan, downtown. Hi, you're on CJAD with Don Wells.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Don.
What are you doing up so late, Ryan?
Actually, I'm working.
Uh-oh. Is your boss on your call? Like,
No. But first of all, I want to say that I've thoroughly enjoyed. I was born in 1965, and I started watching the reruns probably 1975. And totally fell in love with Marianne.
Oh, aren't you nice? Well, I did a good job of raising you.
Sorry?
I did a good job of raising you, I could tell.
Oh, yeah, the girl next door voice and those deep, dark eyes. It was like, holy cow.
Oh, wow.
Much more attractive than Ginger.
Thank you.
Anyway, my question actually is, I noticed in the, the first years it was black and white, and the opening credits, they didn't introduce you and the professor. They called you and the rest.
And the rest, yeah.
And then, I guess, I don't know, in the second or third year or whatever, they started saying Marianne and the professor. So what was the genesis of that?
We were three replacements. Ginger, the professor, and Marianne were three replacements. And they sold the pilot, and the three other characters didn't test well, so they replaced us. And Ginger was cast first, and her agent negotiated for her to be in fifth position billing, which means she was number five and nobody after her. So our hands were tied when Russell and I got the show. Then there's a controversy. In the special that I produced, Gilligan tells me that he went in and told them that he wanted the credits changed. And then a director by the name of John Rich that directed several of our episodes called me after that aired, and he said, "No, wait a minute. I was the one that went in and said it." And then Sherwood Schwartz, the creator, called me and said, "Really, I was the one?" So I don't really know who takes credit, but they all take credit for changing it. Because we were seven people, you know, it was kind of silly.
Well, yeah.
But actually, Russell and I keep sending each other little cards saying love the rest every once in a while.
Okay, Ryan?
Well, thanks for the memories.
Thanks, Ryan. Bye-bye. Okay.
Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. You notice that all the calls we've had tonight were men.
I was just thinking that, but, you know, it's late at night. I don't know. The mothers are so tired of putting the kids to bed. They're asleep.
I'm just wondering what the reaction was. You know, guys, you mentioned Marianne, and guys, their knees go weak. What is the reaction?
Isn't that wonderful? I'm kind of divorced from that. I mean, I really don't really think it's me. It's awfully nice to hear people say that, but I guess in reality, that's really pretty special.
Yeah.
You know, when you really stop and think about that, how many people in a lifetime go through that? I have people come up and have expressed love for 35 years, three different generations. That's really very special. In this world today, we can use a little bit more of that, you know?
What do the women say? What about girls who grew up with Marianne?
Marianne was their best friend. No, I mean, I got the most fan mail, and it was equal male and female. I mean, Marianne would be your buddy. She'd be your best friend. She was a good role model. There was never that feeling of competition or jealousy. There never was with Jeannie either, I don't think. Barb Reedon had that same effect. Barb Reedon, the girls liked her as well as the guys liked her. You know what I mean?
Right. So I guess you're it's a character that you are very, very, very proud of having played.
Yeah. I mean, as an actress, I could say I've done a lot more than I could say I'm prouder of, more complex a character to create. But obviously I've created something that was memorable to somebody, and I don't know that every person would play the character the same way.
How did you go about casting the person who played you in the telefilm?
Well, it was difficult. It was difficult. I think the most difficult was the Howells.
Right.
Was the hardest to cast. It was hard, and I'm not sure we really captured her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure we really captured her. I think Samantha was great. I think she was awfully pretty. I'm not so sure that, and it might have been in the writing, that there's a little bit more of an edge to the Dawn Wells.
Right.
That was the hardest to cast, was the person who was really Bob Denver and the character Gilligan are not the same person. Mrs. Howell was close to being the same person.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little more of an edge to Marianne when she was Dawn.
Right. Well, it was certainly fun to watch, and it was certainly fun to see you, and I'm glad to see that things are going well and you're busy with your Film Actors Boot Camp. Again, people can check out your website, which is www.donwells.com. That's DawnWells.com. It's been a pleasure having you on the program this evening, and I thank you very, very much for sharing some of the memories of being Marianne.
Well, it was a pleasure for me, and thank you, and I hope someday to meet you in person.
Well, your chance is always to come to Montreal, as you say.
Well, if I'm up your way, I'll say hello.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much.